This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
BT is back on the field. We'll get back to the Giants calls in a second here. Before we get to the baseball, BT, Evan texted me, so we have word on what Tiki said yesterday. Both you and I didn't catch it live.
Okay.
Evan basically said, in a nutshell, Tiki said he would never do it, and Strahan shouldn't have done
it. I knew it. Yeah. I knew he would deliver on that. Oh, boy, Tiki, good job.
I mean, it's too easy. Come on. What are we talking about here? This is idiotic from Strahan doing that. All right. We'll get back to your thoughts
on that.
By the
way, does Evan ever not work?
He's like, an animal, man.
I love that he consumes our show. He listens to our show all the time.
Opening day is the only day.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, hey, where's Ev?
He's not working.
Opening day.
He does the Rico every day. He does, you know, his Rico Bronya podcast. He does the afternoon show every day.
He listens to the station all day.
He's always on.
He's locked in.
Except opening day.
Except when he's got to really work.
All right, speaking of which, I'm starting to get warm and fuzzy inside. The quotes are coming in.
Getting excited for those 85 wins coming?
No, I'm excited for this baseball season. In action. I can't even believe it. I'm excited for Boone and the Yankees as well.
Yeah.
It's just a different... You know what I want to watch? I want to watch a better brand of baseball. And I think we're going to see that from the Yankees. I think the Mets are better in different ways where they now have the star power. And the Yankees are better because they're built a little differently. Let me read you one quote. We went over the Alvarez... Well, we didn't go into the Alvarez stuff later, but we could have some fun with that. We have Harold Reynolds coming up in about 18 minutes or so, so stay tuned for that. We'll go over both the Mets and Yanks and a little bit around the league as well with him. Kodai Senga, who arrived in camp today... he was asked about how could the Mets maybe get some of these Japanese players that continue to sign with the Dodgers. Senga goes, of course, I would love to have some on the Mets, some more Japanese player on the Mets, but the weather, the climate is nice there. That definitely played a part. He added, we need to build a roof. I mean, think about that. And by the way, so when I read that, I'm thinking, don't tempt King Cohen. He might just, in fact, if it means getting the superstar from Japan building a roof, then maybe Cohen will do it.
I think that he would actually do it, but I don't know, once you have a pre-existing stadium, is the infrastructure such that you can add a roof? I think that he would cut the check, but... Can you do it now?
I think they can, but it would be so much money. Yeah. Anyway, is that really a part of it? And by the way, if that is the part of it, then why are they all going to the Dodgers as opposed to, you know, maybe Roky Sasaki? I thought he was going to end up with San Diego. We heard about weather being such a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And,
or why not go to Miami? I know it's five hours closer to Japan, but the West Coast. I don't know. I mean, Senga's interesting, and the Mets are interesting, and the Yankees are interesting. And I was just thinking about this as you were lining up the quotes there from Kodai. When was the last time there was this degree of simultaneous hype for both the Yanks and the Mets going into a season?
Good question. I feel like it wasn't that long. Like, I feel like the year the Mets got, correct me if I'm wrong.
Go ahead.
Yeah, after 2022, when the Mets had that, you know, they folded and lost the NL East, but they had a good year that year, you know, won 101 games, got in the postseason, whatever. The next year, when they signed Verlander to go along with Scherzer after they lost to Grom, excuse me, that year I feel like there was some talk of, hey, maybe Subway Series here. Now, was it as legit as it is now? I don't know if it's ever been as legit as it feels this year. And again, I know the Dodgers are, you know, they reign supreme until beaten, until otherwise, but the Mets have... At least for the first time, I feel legitimately have a World Series caliber team for the first time in a long, even going back, probably going back to 2006. I didn't think 2015 was a World Series team.
I caught a lot of people by surprise. I don't know what the answer is either to try to answer my own question, but it even though a couple of years ago, there was definitely some buzz that was generating for both teams here. Yankees weren't coming off a World Series appearance. They hadn't had the Soto edition yet.
Right.
And the Mets hadn't made the biggest splash in the history of free agency like they just did. So when you look at all the different aspects, and then the young kids, and then some of the other circumstances, you know, Stearns and Mendoza and Cohen out in Queens there, and the postseason buzz for both teams last year, I don't know that it's ever been this high. Maybe the 80s when the Mets won the championship and the Yankees had Don Mattingly and Dave Winfield and Ricky, maybe.
You're going back.
I'm going back a million years.
Hoff, look at the odds, because I bet you, just give me the odds on each team to get to the World Series. Like each team, Mets and Yankees, to win their league.
Yanks have to be shorter because the American League is easier.
All right, but still, my point is that I bet you, and I don't know this, and Hoff's not going to look up the history of it, but I bet you the odds show you that this is going into the year the closest that we've ever been to having a Subway Series going in. Does that make sense?
And like, it makes total sense. So I think I probably agree with that. So I can't prove it because that's a lot of data you'd have to pull up. And, you know, Hoff is having a rough time with the basic stuff today. But no, I think you're right. What do you got, Hoff?
Nothing. I don't have anything. I can't find it. I'm an idiot.
It just feeds the right stuff this time.
Yankees plus 800, Mets plus 850.
Okay, so
do this then. They just crazy. At least go back to 2022.
You don't think they'll BT? That's nuts. The Yankees to win the American League is plus 800? No way. That's ridiculous. I take that all day long.
Yeah, that seems very high now that I process it.
Yankees to win the American League and the Mets to win the National League is what I'm looking for. Because why would the Mets be 850, only plus 850, and the Yankees be plus 800? No way.
It shouldn't be. I would think that the Yankees would be significantly lower.
Like 3-1, maybe.
Maybe, and I would think that the Yankees-Mets disparity would be bigger, to your point. What do you got, Hoff? Something else pop up?
No, I'm just but the Dodgers are plus 300. Those are the top three teams.
Wow. This is to win the National League.
This is to get to the World Series.
To get to the World Series.
Yes, to get to the World Series.
Quote, it says, to get to the World Series, the Dodgers are plus 300.
Yeah, because to win the division is minus 350.
No, not the division. I'm talking about win the league, win the pennant. So to get to the World Series, Dodgers are
plus 300.
Plus three.
And the Mets are plus 850, and the Yankees are plus 800.
What are the Braves?
Dude, I would bet
plus 900.
Okay, what are the
Astros? Oh, wait, no. Hold on.
Uh-oh.
Got it. Plus 275. For the Yankees, plus 400 for the Braves.
We need to take a timeout today. All right, so that makes more sense. So give me it again now. The Yankees to get to the World Series are plus 275?
275. Okay, Mets is 400.
Okay. That makes
and
a
the Dodgers
more sense.
Are 200.
That makes a little more sense.
Makes a lot more sense. Plus 275. Okay.
Yeah, for the Yankees, I thought they'd be around 3-1. And I was gonna go during the break. I was gonna go put a boatload on the Yankees to get there. 8-1.
Yeah,
what are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I mean, the Yankees with the landscape of the American League, no guarantees, but with the landscape of the American League, the Yankees are gonna make the odds all day. Yeah, they are the odds-on favorite. Yep. So they're plus 275 to get there. The Mets plus 400.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's pretty good odds.
They are.
It almost feels, for years, it always felt, even since 2000 when it actually happened. It felt like, oh, yeah, it'd be a nice, nice dream, nice to talk about. But, like, the reality of it, it never really felt like
that.
Last year
because
in season, yeah, there was a chance. And obviously, Mets made it to the NLCS.
Well, think about the circumstance for the Yankees. As A-Rod was aging out and Derek Jeter was aging out and Mo was aging out and the Girardi era was coming to an end and, and then the Young Bucks are coming up and they didn't work out. Like, there haven't been many years. Even the 2024, this is coming up 25. Right. The Mets won
2022.
In 2020, okay.
2023.
And the Yankees won 99, I think it was, in 2022. I believe it was, right? Either way.
Was,
and then 2023, Judge got hurt.
Both missed the playoffs.
Yep. Judge got hurt, ran into the wall, and then, of course, still. Okay. I would think that, like, in 2022, there was optimism. But not like this, because I didn't really love the Yankees staff. I didn't love the Yankees position players. I didn't think the Mets were nearly ready. It's got to be this year.
Yeah.
It's got to be.
This is maybe of all time.
Yeah,
right?
That's what I'm saying.
Going into the season. Yeah, I mean, I can't wait for it. Mets are loaded. Yankees are loaded. We'll do much more baseball coming up with Harold Reynolds in about 10 minutes. So let's get back to the calls. We started the show talking about the Giants and Matthew Stafford. Also just talked about Michael Strahan again waving the Eagles flag yesterday. Corey is on Long Island wanting to weigh in on that. What's up, Corey?
Yeah, how you guys doing? Good morning.
Hey, Corey.
Good morning.
As a Giants fan, I don't have any problem with Strahan waving the Eagles flag. Because during the Super Bowl, I always root for the NFC team. And the NFC East has been like a laughing stock these past few years. So this was a good show for the NFC East.
Well, no. The Giants have been a laughing stock. The NFC East has been pretty good.
Yeah. The Eagles have been to two out of the last three Super Bowls. Come on.
And Dallas wins 12 games most years when they're healthy.
But I'm going back like 10 years. I know now recently the Redskins, Commanders and the Eagles.
The Eagles have been good for a long time there, Corey. You're a Giant fan and you have no issue with Strahan waving that Eagles flag?
I mean, in the Pro Bowl, if Jalen Hurts was our quarterback, I'd be rooting
That's
him.
That's not what I'm asking you. I'm asking you, you're a Giant fan, right?
Yes.
And you have no issue with Michael Strahan, who's in the Ring of Honor, all-time great Giant, Super Bowl champion, waving an Eagles flag on the day of their Super Bowl game. You have no issue with that?
Yes, because we are rooting for the team that represents our conference.
I think people are rooting who they're going to win money on. I never got, and thanks for the call. And listen, that's your opinion. It's an odd one to me, all due respect, but that's your opinion, so we'll respect it. I just never bought into, all right, well, my team got knocked out, and now let me root for the conference. Who cares? Once my team's out, I couldn't care less unless I'm making money.
I never once rooted for a division team. Like, because they're in the division. I hate the teams in the division more so than I do, root for them to represent whatever division it is that you root for. Never.
Never.
Maybe like you would have rooted for the Bills to go in, but not because of them being in the AFC East.
No, because of their fans Josh Allen, the story and their plight. Yeah, right. Not because, if the Jets couldn't win it, I want to see the Bills fans. I want to see the Bills win it. No.
And by the way, the caller is entitled to root for whoever he wants, for whatever reason he wants. But I just am shocked that a Giant fan, you want to root for the Eagles for whatever reason. Sure enough, you could, by the way, say, you know what? I love Saquon so much. I wanted to see him get a Super Bowl. Fine. Waving the Eagles flag from Strahan. Like, and I'm not even trying to do low-hanging fruit radio. Like,
no, I know.
It's easy to punch Strahan on this one. I don't want to do that, but how do you not? It was an idiotic thing that he did. That's only the only thing that he was doing by waving that Eagles flag was directly spitting in the face of the New York Giant fan. That's it. There was no point. It wasn't entertaining. It wasn't funny. It was to show, here's Mr. Giant rooting for the Eagles and waving their flag to really, really stick the knife in and twist it to the Giant fans. That's just stupid from Strahan, who's known for being a New York Giant.
It's unacceptable. The answer. What aspect of sports going on right now is your partner having the most fun with?
The Johnnies, of course. Yeah.
Imagine, I don't think he's doing TV as much anymore, but say if Chris Mullin's doing TV or Mark Jackson was still doing a lot of TV. And Syracuse is in the Final Four. Now, Syracuse isn't in the conference anymore, but that was their rival that Syracuse back in the day. And they're waving a Syracuse flag. I'm like, what?
Yeah,
I have to personalize it. It's unacceptable.
You just made me think of it. The only way that it would even be, and even then, I'm not sure it would be acceptable, is if Strahan's kid played on the Eagles.
True. I'm with you on that.
Even then, you could, like, if he were at the game wearing his son's jersey or rooting for the Eagles, fine. Do you have to wave the flag? Like, that's just such a stupid thing to do.
I know.
What are you doing waving the Eagles flag? You're now the flag carrier, literally, for the Eagles? You're Michael Strahan. Come on, dude.
Oh,
it's ridiculous.
Man. I was just watching Rudy. You know the scene, and I was fine. Colt watched Rudy for the first time.
What do you think? You must have
loved it. A little slow at the beginning, but once he started training, getting his brains beating as a practice player, and just seeing, know the scene where the captain walks in, and they're handing the jerseys on the new coach's desk, and the coach goes, you're a captain. I suggest you start acting like it.
Yeah,
Strahan, you're a Giant. Yeah. I suggest you start acting like it.
I guess he doesn't care. Greg is in New Haven, Connecticut. What's up, Greg?
Hey, guys. Good morning. Thanks for taking the call.
What's up, Greg?
No problem.
Hey, I'm a huge Giant fan forever. I'm not a political guy whatsoever. I don't have a big problem with Michael Strahan. He's a national celebrity, this guy. He's much bigger than just his football days with New York. And I think that just in the spirit of inclusivity or whatever, or just showing the lack of divisiveness, waving that flag is something that he did. And he said, look, I'm just going to, I'm going to salute the winners.
He did it before the game.
They hadn't won yet.
And thank you for the
call. Have a conversation with Saquon like everybody else. Say, hey, man, this is the toughest Sunday of my life. You know I bleed Giants blue, but, man, you're a good one. We miss you. And there's not all Giant fans, but a lot of Giant fans are rooting for you. You could do something like that and toe the line.
And please stop with the inclusivity and all that stuff.
Stop.
This is sports we're talking about. Like, come on. I mean, should go without saying. We're talking about sports fandom here. It's irrational. It's idiotic. But it's being a sports fan. And Trey, you're right, is a bigger star and all that stuff. But He is a Giant. He started as a New York Giant. Michael Strahan would not be where he is if he did not play for the New York Football Giants. That's it. End of story. Because he was on the Giants and because he had the platform to be in New York and win a Super Bowl with Eli Manning. Like, those are all the reasons why Strahan was allowed the opportunity to then elevate his career in the broadcasting world. You're spitting. All he's doing is hurting you, the Giant fan. That's all that was. Wasn't bringing people together. It wasn't saluting the winner because the game didn't take place yet. It wasn't for Saquon Barkley. It was stupid, and it was hurting the New York Giant fan. That's it. That was dumb by Michael Strahan.
I know we got a break. Yep. I hesitate to say this, but I have to. That call was one of the most pathetic calls I've ever heard in the history of WFAN. Inclusivity?
I got
with
it.
Sports teams? I'm not political, but what in the world are we talking about?
Why don't you and I, BT, when we're out there at opening day at the stadium, you wave a Mets flag and I'll wave a Yankee flag in solidarity to bring people together.
Could you imagine?
No, I know.
This is just, that is a sad commentary on the different DNA of fans.
I mean, come on.
What the hell happened?
Stop taking this up so seriously. It's sports. Ugh. That's it. From a sports perspective.
It's WFAN, fan, for a reason.
BT and Sal on The Fan. We'll talk to Harold Reynolds when we come back. Talk some more baseball with Harold Reynolds of MLB Network. Brandon Sweeney, Sal Licata back on The Fan right now. We welcome in Harold Reynolds of the MLB Network to the show. To celebrate baseball being back, Harold's going to be out there co-hosting MLB Network's Hot Stove program tomorrow, live at 9 a.m. from the MLB flagship store right here in New York City, 1271 6th Avenue. Fans are encouraged to visit the store as special guests will join the show. Harold, we're pumped up about baseball season, specifically for the Mets and Yanks. Let's start with the Yankees. Do you think they're better this year than they were in their World Series year a year ago?
Hey, well, thanks for having me on, BT, Sal.
Yeah.
BT, I know you're a Yankee fan, so I'm going to make you feel good early.
All right, let's go. I saw you at the World Series, man.
They're better than they were last year.
Okay.
I like the moves they made. They added some additions that they needed to add. You got a closer that's legit, no question marks. Sets up the whole bullpen. But I think all the moves, Goldschmidt, you name it, but to me, Bellinger is the one that takes them over the top. I just think he's going to be fit for Yankee Stadium. I think he's going to be a great player.
Wow. Okay. So, boy, there's so many things to go from that. I love what they did. Now, I hated losing Soto, but I thought the pivot was outstanding. You know, I think Wells, to an extent, is one of the big keys, but I keep going back to Volpe, Harold, and I need some direction here. You know, when you're a first-round pick, and for those who might not know, he was playing Team USA. He was playing at the highest levels when he was a young kid. So he's always been exposed to the best competition, and he's always flourished. By year three, if you're not hitting 270, 280, you're probably never going to be that guy. I can make the case that nobody's got more pressure on them than Anthony Volpe on the Yankees. You buying that? Where are you with him right now?
Yeah, I think with the game that we play today, with so many different swing adjustments and analytics that have changed what guys are looking for, he's kind of got caught in that. You know, he came up with the launch angle age, struck out 180 times or whatever it was, and they said, okay, let's change the swing a little bit. And he's making changes mid-season. So I think as we started to see him last year, start to figure things out towards the end of the year, hitting the ball the other way, still having power, being able to pull a ball inside when needed to be. Became more of a complete hitter, in a sense, and cut down strikeouts. Hopefully it gave him a winter to have a plan to say, this is what I'm going to be this season. I don't think he's had a winter to do that yet. So I still think the jury's out on Volpe. Very talented. He's going to hit. Look, there's not many shortstops that come along. You hit 20 home runs. I mean, that's pretty impressive what he's been able to do. And that's with a lot of holes that are still there. So I think the upside is really huge for this kid.
You mentioned Bellinger, Harold, which I think he's going to have a big year as well, but there's no replacing Juan Soto. I mean, Soto and Judge in the postseason, you saw it. It was as dominant a twosome as we've seen, as threatening as a twosome as there can be in the sport. They're going to lose a lot there with Juan Soto. How do you replace that? Let's say the Yankees get to the postseason, which we all expect. How do you replace Soto's presence in that lineup in October?
Well, I think collectively you do that. And this is why I think they're better. You're going to have Jazz for a full season. I think Goldschmidt is going to be better than most people think. He's going to give you, especially down the stretch. What Goldschmidt has always done is hit great pitching. What do you see in the postseason? You see great pitching. I'm not worried about the 162 games. I'm looking at the Yankees winning the American League and getting back to a World Series. So how do you do it? You got to play great when you're facing the best competition. I think Goldie gives you that. I think that you're looking at Bellinger. I'm really putting a lot on him. Hopefully the young kid, Dominguez, comes around and plays a full season real well. And Aaron Judge is not going to be as bad as he was in the World Series last year. So I just think collectively they're a better team. They run better. They defend better. They're going to hit better. And the pitching at the end of the game is, you got Max Fried now, which you did not have. You got Devin Williams, which New York is going to be blown away when you see this guy every day. They're a better club. There's not even an argument for me.
I'm with you. I think a lot of fans that were obviously disappointed with Soto leaving, a little tough to process, but I don't disagree, because the problems with the Yankees have been for far too long too inherent. Like, I don't know if it's a developmental thing, but there's too many strikeouts, the defense is too sloppy, not enough athletes, which gets me back. I know you mentioned his name, but gets me back to Dominguez. You know, it's different in New York, and it's different with the Yankees. How patient will they be with Jason Dominguez if he comes out in April, he's hitting 160, and he's not looking great in the outfield? What's the runway with him?
Well, they won't be patient. They'll be patient until, right? That's kind of what it is. We're patient until.
Okay.
And the way he defended last year in left field was not impressive. I think it let them know they got a problem there. They got to figure it out in the spring. So he's going to either have to be moved to center and play an outstanding center field, or they're not getting what they expected to get out of him. But they'll be patient until they can no longer be patient. And that might be, you know, by All-Star break. This team's going to win games.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to give him a chance to fail and succeed. It's not like he's the missing cog. He has to perform in order for the Yankees to be great. I think they can carry his misfortunes if he struggles early, because they're going to be deep enough to win games.
Who is the Yankees' primary competition in the American League, Harold?
Well, in the American League, I think the West Coast is still going to come out with the Rangers and the Astros. I'm not throwing the Astros quite out of it yet, but I think their division is going to give them some competition. The Red Sox are going to be better. The Blue Jays will be up and down, but they can give you a tough series. And then after that, I just don't see the Central being the competition everybody thinks it's going to be. They'll beat up on each other. Kansas City's going to be good again, and Detroit. But I really think this Yankee club is above that. Last year, I had the Royals giving the Yankees a real strong battle in that playoff. I thought the Royals would beat them. I don't see that being put roster against roster right now as we enter spring training. I don't see the Royals giving the Yankees a problem. But so, last year, I did at the postseason.
Gotcha. So, buddy, Harold Reynolds, of course, MLB Network, former player All-Star as well.
And a full year of Garrett Cole, by the way.
That's true. Yeah. And now Weaver. You know, Weaver setting up. We didn't mention him before. So, yeah, I do like the team a lot on paper. I don't like third base, though. And listen, I don't think that they need to address it now. I wouldn't mind getting Arenado if the Cardinals are going to pay for some of that money, which they have to. But you need somebody over at third base that's going to catch the baseball. I don't need Mike Schmidt or George Brett or even Greg Nettles. But with 30 home runs, who emerges as the third baseman this year for the Yankees?
Well, I'm with you. That is a problematic situation. Even the guys right now, Oswald and DJ LeMahieu, are not third basemen by trade, so to speak. Jazz was okay. I'm not going to say he was great. I'm not going to say he was really all that good at third. He was okay. But he's going to be great at second base. And I think you got to move him to second. But third base is a question mark. And Nolan Arenado, I'm not getting caught up worrying about his offense. He can catch the ball. And if they get him, that takes them to a whole nother level. But I'm with you. Somebody's got to catch the ball at third base.
Well, what about the Mets, Harold? They made the big splash this offseason. Oh, Mets fans, you know, forgot about it because they wanted Pete Alonso. Where's Pete Alonso? But they signed Juan Soto away from the Yankees. How much better do you think the Mets, who went to the NLCS a year ago, have become after their strong offseason?
Well, they're still a little bit short. I think the Pete Alonso signing was huge. I mean, huge for that offense. You know, everybody talks about Juan Soto a lot, and a lot of it's about his on-base percentage. Great. Who's driving him in? And that's, he's going to rock. So you needed to have that guy that's going to force that opposition to have to pitch to Soto in certain situations. What made Soto great in New York wasn't just Judge, but Stanton got hot as well. And now you're forced to pitch to Soto a little bit. I don't know if the Mets have that depth yet that's really going to make you have to pitch to Juan Soto. When you look at it, do you really have to pitch to him with Lindor leading off? And then what? So I still think they have to address that. Ventos, he had a really good year last year. We'll see how he does. But if I'm an opposing team, why am I letting Juan Soto beat me? And that's why Pete was so important for me.
Yeah.
I do think the Mets are going to be better. They'll be healthier again, similar to the Yankees. They miss a lot of guys with injuries. But the last thing, I'll let you guys jump in. I got the biggest move outside of Soto and Pete Alonso was bringing back Manaea. I think he's on an upswing of his career that's going to take him to another level.
I couldn't agree more. You know, what he found with that adjusted windup is that's who he is now moving forward. I totally agree. But I want to get back to Pete for a sec because, yes, okay. I think they needed to bring him back. And you know, we know he's very flawed with certain things. We know what he does well. We all know Pete. All right, we know the scouting report. The one thing that we don't know for sure, we can have opinions, and we need yours on this, he didn't seem to handle the pressure well of the contract a season ago, and because it's, you know, 1 year with an opt-out, in essence, it's the same inward pressure to perform to get a longer-term deal here or elsewhere. So why will Pete handle the pressure this year better?
Well, because he's going to be pissed off. I mean, he went through free agency. When you're first heading into it, you don't understand it, and it's the unknown. And when he was going through trying to figure out if he's going to stay. Do they like me? Do they want me? Now it's kind of like, okay, they played their card. And I'm going to go out and show people that I can still perform. So I think that gives him a whole different edge and a different mindset of being able to go perform. I don't think it's the, oh, I'm the Mets guy, I got to stay and play here. I don't think that's it anymore. I think it's, okay, now I'll go out and perform and show these guys they need to lock me up. And if they don't, then I'll set up to move forward. It's just a switch that changes. I went through it in Seattle. Your mindset changes when you feel like, okay, they didn't respect me the way I thought I should be respected. It just changes. So I think he'll handle that. But Pete, the other thing about Pete is it's not what Pete is going to do when it comes to protection. It's what's that pitcher think. And he's still got that long ball threat. And the face of the other club in those meetings, they're sitting there going, all right, we can't let Soto beat us, but you can't allow Pete to drive a run in. That's going to hurt you as another team. So I think we'll see a different Pete Alonso. I think we'll see a more relaxed guy. I think we'll see a guy that's understanding that he's gone through it for the first time. He's always been a Met. When anybody comes up in an organization, that is where you feel like you're supposed to be. And when you go through free agency, you get a different look at it. You just do.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be great to see that. He's had two down years in a row. He's had opportunities to drive in runs even without Soto in front of him, and he hasn't done it, but he better this year. He's getting paid the highest of his position in the sport, $30 million a year. Be nice to see him produce. Somebody, though, Harold, that maybe the Mets might have their sights on, I certainly do, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. How do you think that his situation plays out with Toronto?
Well, he's put a time limit on it, but as we all know, money speaks to time. But what Soto's contract did, and I think there's only a couple guys in the sport that it really truly affected, and I think Vlad's one of them, that his money went up. A lot of the reason the free agent market was kind of slow after Soto signed, a lot of players were under the illusion that they must have gone up too. They didn't. The market didn't change. He's an outlier. But I think Vlad's one of those outliers as well. He's 25 years old. And so he's going to command, maybe he was looking for three, now he's at four or five. And if they don't get this deal done, he'll be a free agent, and I think the Mets are sitting there going, that's our number one target. I would have to think that is.
Yeah. He's tremendous. He looked great in Queens. You know, I want to go back to something that Sal and I have gone back and forth on, and I understand the game's changed here. When we were growing up, certainly when you were playing, your best hitter's hitting third. George Brett's hitting third. Mattingly's hitting third. Hernandez hitting third. Right. High contact, high average. Okay, clutch guys. So, in my opinion, Lindor, Vientos, Soto 3, and then Pete would be the best course of action for the Mets, because if you go Lindor, Soto 1-2, which they probably will, I don't love the length of this particular lineup. I think they're one big stick away from being fully legit. And by separating Lindor and Soto, it becomes more circular and it lengthens it. What do you think they will do, and what do you think they should do if it's different?
I'm in agreement with you. If I'm facing the Mets and I get Lindor out, all right? Now, Soto comes to the plate with one out every time. I have no problem putting him on base. Mm-hmm. I have no problem making him chase. I have no worries at all. But if I got another opportunity to have that lengthened out a little bit more and stretch the lineup like you're talking about, I got to do it. You know, I look at it this way. I know a lot of people, every team has their own reasoning. But the year Aaron Judge had 62 home runs, and the Yankees kept leaving him in the two spot. He had 62 home runs. I think he drove in, what, about 140, something like that?
Mm-hmm.
He drove himself in 62 times. I mean, that's...
Yeah.
Come on.
I know what you're saying. Yeah. Yeah.
You got to get more production out of that.
Yeah. And are you of the mindset... I mean, you played. We didn't at this level. I mean, to me, you know, you got Lindor, who's terrific, could run. Vientos, who I think is going to be a star. And if you have Soto behind him... Yeah, I get it. You can get Lindor out, and then it's the same concept of you know, maybe getting Vientos to change, but it's different in the sense that you don't want to put Vientos on, because then you're going to have to pitch to Soto. So Vientos in the two spot makes Vientos' life easier. He's got Lindor in front of him, Soto behind him.
Yeah, and I don't even know if it's Vientos as much as it might be Nemo for me.
Okay.
I just think they have some opportunities, but I don't think I'd rather have Soto lead off than have Soto
what?
Hit second.
What?
I just would. I think instead of not being pitched to, I just think it makes no sense to sit him in a spot where he's not going to get pitches to hit.
Right, but don't you think that it matters, Harold, and it seems like you're, not that you're down on Vientos, but maybe more questioning Vientos if what he did a year ago was legit, because if you believe what Vientos did was legit, he was as clutch as there was in the postseason a year ago. I do believe he's that. So in my scenario where you go Lindor, Soto, Vientos, you don't want to be pitching a Mark Vientos with both Lindor and Soto potentially on base, or even just Soto in front of him. Like, I think Vientos can make you pay more than Pete. I mean, Pete didn't have a big hit last year until October. We had a couple.
Well, that's why we have spring training, right? And we can figure it out.
Well, are you high on Vientos this year, Harold, or you just?
I love Vientos. Okay. I've always liked him, even when he first came up and just didn't get the opportunity. I think he's going to be fantastic, but I do think there's going to be a little bit of a learning curve. You get pitched different with runners on,
yep.
and honestly. The pressure's a lot different when you now become the designated guy we're looking to get out. We're giving you our best stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that changes. It changes everything. And we're sitting there when he got hot at the postseason going, this is a guy that we got to get out. The Dodgers weren't fully thinking that at that time. And he destroyed them. And then you figure it out. And then all of a sudden it becomes a different game. So that's what he's going to be up against from the beginning of the season. I think it's going to be interesting to watch. That's the cat and mouse. I love it.
Yeah, that is the chess match of baseball, there's no doubt. And I think Vientos' heartbeat, which is very slow, I think it's going to serve him well. I love the kid. So it's all to our buddy Harold Reynolds, BT and Sal on the Fan. All right, a lot of pressure on Volpe, a lot of pressure on Alvarez. Who is he going to be this year?
Who will Volpe be?
No, Francisco Alvarez.
It'll be interesting to see what Francisco ends up doing this year. He's another guy that's. It looked like he cut down on some of his free swinging. It's hard to tell because guys got in such hot streaks. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like Vientos got in a streak. Alvarez got in a streak. And looking at the 162, he disappeared for a while. And that's what happens with young players. You have to figure out how to minimize the disappearing act. Because you're going to have an 0-for-10. How do you handle it? It's coming for everybody. And that's the difference in, I don't necessarily look at, did you drive, did you get a run, did you get a base hit, you've gone 0 for 15. How was the at bat? Did you have 10 strikeouts and 12 ABs?
Mm-hmm.
Or were you putting the ball in play?
Yeah.
You know, those are different things you got to look at.
Last one, Harold, from me, who's best suited to beat the Dodgers, if anybody?
The Dodgers.
In this conversation?
Probably.
Well, no, you can, I mean, anybody in the sport. Is there a team that you think is favorite to knock off the Dodgers? Or you think the Dodgers are going to win another championship?
I think the Dodgers are going to win it. I would say the team that maybe matches up right now would be possibly the Phillies, because I think they have the pitching depth and they have the player depth. I do believe the Yankees are not done adding. And I don't think the Mets are quite finished either. I just don't think the Mets are where they need to be yet. I still think they're short. I know they spent a lot of money on Soto, and it's great and all that. I still think they're short.
You think they need an arm or a bat, if anything, or maybe both? What are they short on?
I think they still need both. I still think they got some holes.
Wow. Yeah. Well, we'll get the answers eventually. We're all excited. You know, me and Sal.
So my question is this. We're all excited here at MLB Network as well, and we're trying to see you guys coming back this year.
Yeah.
Opening day.
Well, I'm going to take you yard again.
Coming back, what?
Yeah, I'm going to hit bombs off you again like I did last year. You know, you saw
me. We need a road trip. We need you guys out here.
I'm going to need a little more energy from you about my Mets, Harold. I mean, I'm not liking what I'm hearing. You want me to come out there and hang out at the MLB Network studios? I mean, the Mets did make it to the NLCS. They added Juan freaking Soto, brought back Manaea and Alonso. What more do you want them to do?
Doesn't seem impressed.
Here's what I'm going to say. Down with the Braves. Down with the Phillies. Down with the Dodgers. Let's go, Mets, Harold. Yeah, now I'll show up.
Just bring that energy out here. That's all I want to see. I want to see that in person. That's all I got to say.
You're in the room with him for a 10 minutes. Yeah. You eventually see it. By the way, that is something that we're definitely working on. You guys treated us like gold last year. Love MLB Network. That is something we're trying to make happen for sure. But let me throw maybe a little cold water on a sport we all love as much as anything. It just seems like the work stoppage is coming. Not if, but and it. I hope I'm wrong. It feels very dire. Am I right or am I wrong on this?
I hope you're wrong. I don't know. We got a long ways to still go to work that out.
Not that long.
Yeah, I know.
2 years.
Hopefully the worst part of negotiations like that, it always comes down to the 11th hour for people to feel a pressure point, right?
Yep.
So I want to enjoy it right now, but I do think there's going to be a fight. From both sides, and hopefully we can get it settled.
And can you just tell everybody in your ways, because you do this every day, what the main pressure point fight is over?
Well, I think it's going to be over, can you control the spinning of the sport? You know, whether it's, if you look at the other sports, you look at the NBA, you look at the NFL, they're flourishing under their systems of revenue share. And that's what baseball is going to have to figure out. It's hard to have, in my mind, having gone through the union and everything else, when you have, you know, close to $5 billion in player salary, and, you know, $4.5 billion of that goes to about 100 players when you got 1,000. Mm. That's going to be a problem.
All right. Well, go ahead.
I was going to say, on the ownership side, you know, they're always going to try to figure out how they can split their pie. Obviously, that's going to be a problem. So, we'll see.
And you can check Harold out. He's going to co-host MLB Network's Hot Stove program tomorrow, live at 9 a.m. from the MLB flagship store right here in New York City, 1271 6th Avenue. Fans are encouraged to visit the store as special guests will join the show. Harold, thanks for your time. We appreciate it. Enjoy the start to the baseball season.
Okay, fellas. Appreciate it. We'll see you soon.
You got it, brother. Care.
There you go.
Thanks, right. Harold.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on the fan. We'll get back to the Giants in a little bit as we reset coming up at 12 o'clock. But just to tag what Harold was saying right there. You know, yesterday you had Francisco Alvarez down in Port St. Lucie saying that he thinks the Mets have the best lineup in baseball. Now, he's a Met, so maybe he's going to say that. But go around the league and tell me who has a definitive better lineup than the Mets or deeper lineup than the Mets. And then you have Harold, who knows baseball as well as anybody for MLB Network, basically saying he thinks the Mets lineup is thin, which I disagree with myself, BT. I think the Mets lineup is loaded. Now, they got to have the guys do their job, but I think on paper going in, I don't know how much more you could want.
I need a little bit more on the back end. I'm not going to say it's loaded. I think that the Mets will be good this year. I don't think it's a loaded lineup. I think it's a good lineup.
Give me the, not that we're going to go around and know every single lineup, but off the top of your head, give me the lineups who are better than the Mets.
Dodgers.
Yeah, okay, that's one.
Braves.
Based on
just my opinion, I just think they have a few more better hitters.
But if we actually go over it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if Acuna's healthy, obviously I like their first baseman better. Right. Michael Harris is a stud in center field. Right. Like, I just think their third baseman's an absolute star.
Austin Riley, Matt Olson, like those
Michael
guys.
Michael Harris. I think they got one or two better sticks. I think their offense is better.
But again, so then you have Lindor, Soto.
Yeah.
Vientos, Alonso.
But there's also, I love Vientos, but there's more of a variable with him. Like, I do want to see him do it again, whereas I know that even though Olson wasn't great last year, but Olson, Riley, Acuna, Harris, those guys are a little bit more established. I just think that the Braves 1-9, I think their offense is better. I like their catcher right now better. I think they can hit more behind the plate. There's variables. Now, if Alvarez is truly a stud and Vientos is who I think he is, you know, and Pete bounces back, like, I'm not saying that doesn't have the potential to be even better, and I perceive it to be good. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
I don't perceive it to be dominant. And it could reach that level. I don't think that there's a ton of other lineups necessarily a lot better.
All right, Dodgers, Braves.
I'd have to look at the Phillies lineup a little closer. Right. I'd have to look at the Padres lineup a little closer. I think the Yankees have a good lineup. I'd say, 1-9 sounds just the sticks, right? No offense, no pitching.
Right.
Top of my head, middle of February-ish, I would say the Mets probably have, for me, about the 6th or 7th best lineup. A good lineup. Top 10 lineup.
You think the Yankees have a better lineup?
I do. I think it's longer.
Come on.
I just think it's longer.
How? You want to roll it out for me?
Sure. Well, I would start with this. The Yankees have the best hitter in baseball, so I start there. Right. So, advantage. And I don't even want to make it a Yankee-Met thing. Right. I just don't think the Mets lineup is as potent as you do. Right. And neither does Harold. And by the way, I don't think that we're alone. Doesn't mean we're right. I think the Mets are a stick short. I know who's playing these positions, but I don't know what it's going to equate to in center field.
All right.
I don't know what it's going to equate to at second base. I don't know what it's going to equate to behind the plate. I don't know what it's going to equate to. Well, I love Vientos. Mm-hmm. Nimmo's had 4 straight years where the on base has gone down. I think if Nimmo had a really good year last year, I might be a little bit more emboldened to say, all right, yeah, the Mets might be there with the Braves. And listen, I mean, maybe Nimmo comes out and hits 280 and, stole some bases last year. The on-base is back up, keeps hitting some bombs, and maybe it changes. But just right now, I think the Mets lineup is good. I don't think it's great. And by the way, I don't think the Yankees lineup is great.
Well, that's what I'm
saying. Yankees lineup is slightly better than the Mets.
I think clearly Dodgers, and I could give you the Braves. I can't give anybody else.
That's fine.
Including the Phillies, Yankees.
Yeah, no,
you write down your Yankees lineup real quick. I'm going to write down my Mets lineup real quick because I had not done this fully yet.
I've done the Mets lineup more than I've done the Yankees lineup because we talk about where we should hit Vientos. All right, I got
done,
you.
Right. We haven't done it with the Yankees as much. We've done it with the Mets. 7-8, Lindor.
No. All right, so I got this.
Vientos, Alonso.
What I would do or what I think they're going to do?
Whatever. However
it's a little,
you want.
I got you.
As long as we get the names in some semblance of an order, I think that that's.
Okay.
Because I don't think the Yankees lineup is as good as it was even a year ago. It's different. But I think you take Soto out of there. And I think Bellinger's going to have a big year.
It's better at first base.
I don't think it's as deep as the Mets lineup is maybe the better way.
See, here's where I think the Yankees lineup, just Yankee to Yankee, not Yankee to Met. I think Yankee 2025 to 2024. Where the Yankee lineup gets better is first base, appreciable upgrade. Not going in the MVP, but it's just better. And I think Wells is going to have a good season. Last year, he showed signs, so I think you'll get a much better version of Wells. And, by the way, the last month of the season, Volpe was a lot better, including the postseason. I don't love him. I mean, I want to love him. And Jazz for the whole season. Listen, their lineup, I don't know who's hitting first for the Yankees. That's the problem.
I'd say Dominguez.
I put Dominguez one.
Go ahead.
I'm going to put Jazz 2.
Okay.
I don't know if they're doing that.
All right.
And they could probably put Judge 2.
All right, that's fine.
I would put Judge 3. I would put Bellinger 4. I would put Stanton 5.
Well, 6, huh?
I would put maybe even Goldschmidt 6 and well 7.
Wow.
And then a Volpe combo. I mean, listen.
It's a deep lineup.
It doesn't have the star power of the Dodgers. I just think it's longer. It's longer than last year.
Lindor, Soto, Vientos, Nimmo, Alonso, Winker / Marte for now, Alvarez 7, Siri 8, McNeil 9. I mean, that is a good lineup.
Okay, now hold on. I'm not saying it's a bad lineup. Yeah. Remember, we're splitting hairs here. But you say Siri hits 160.
Yeah, well,
you say Marte's done.
Yeah,
You say Alvarez. We don't know who Alvarez is.
Oh, okay.
It sounds good.
Then, yeah, but we don't know who Wells is or Volpe is or Dominguez is.
Hold on.
What do you mean we do? We don't.
I'm going to tell you why,
Sal. How do you know who Dominguez is?
But I'm going to tell you why. No, we don't know fully who Wells is. I agree. But we do know, and just
I like
look,
Wells.
I know you do. Yeah. I know you like him. And I like some of these other Met hitters that are young. I do. But the Yankee season really changed around offensively when Wells went to the four spot last year.
Right.
And if you look at, he had, the second-best OPS as catchers. He's good. Now, he's not great. He's good.
Right.
And if you ask me who has the better offense, now, I don't know if I'm going to be right.
Yeah, Alvarez is going to be a seven-hitter on this Mets team.
I think Wells is six or seven. I don't think he's got to hit four this year because of Goldschmidt and because of Bellinger. You know, so listen, it's close. I'm not saying the Mets lineup is a C-minus and the Yankees are an A-plus. I think the Yankees lineup is a B-plus, and I think the Mets are a B. It's close.
But I'd like to know what you're basing it off of.
I just think the Yankees have more length. I think they give you more quality at bats. I'm not saying they're going to run Siri out there every day, but if they do, that's a 170 hitter every year. Yankees aren't doing that.
Right.
But
you're picking on Siri, who's an eight hitter who's going to hit 20 home runs.
I understand that.
He's not even there for his offense.
But he's going to play every day.
Well,
he's the center fielder, right?
They'll work him in.
He might not play 160, but he's going to play 130, 140.
But he's an upgrade over what they had from Harrison Bader a year ago.
Yes.
He's going to hit a lot of home runs and play a great defense.
And he's going to run. He's going to steal. I didn't hate the pick when you guys. I didn't hate. I wasn't when you guys got him. I didn't hate the move.
For an eight hitter who's going to have a power threat, I don't remember the Mets ever having that in my life.
Yeah.
Eight hitter that can now again, I don't know where he's going to hit. This is just my lineup, but I'm assuming based on this lineup, that's where he would hit.
I don't mind the addition. To be fair to both the Yankees and the Mets, I'm looking at my lineup. I'm circling Dominguez, I'm circling Wells, and I'm circling Volpe. And when I'm looking at the Mets lineup, I'm circling Alvarez, I'm circling Vientos, less concerned
about
him.
X-factors.
Yeah, but as young kids who still, we don't really know exactly.
Right.
By the way, of all those players, I've got the most faith in Vientos and the second most faith in Wells.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
You know what I mean? To have representative seasons.
Yeah, I also think it depends on how we view Nimmo. I think he's better than you think he is, and I think he's going to have a bigger year.
Okay.
I think that matters. I mean, you factor in LeMahieu in that lineup at third base. What do you get?
I didn't even really get to the ninth spot, which would probably be Volpe. Right, okay. I hope it's not DJ. Yeah. I think it could still be Arenado camp ends.
I still think I would trust the Mets on it. But either way, their top line is. My point is, Harold was dismissing it. I mean, okay, let's say the Dodgers are better. Let's say the Braves are better. Let's say the Yankees are better, which I don't agree with, but let's say the Yankees are better. Well, the Mets have the fourth best lineup, but they're thin somehow.
You know what I think it is too, Sal? I don't think he's enamored with the arms because he even said they need another arm.
Hey, but he was talking on Manaea.
No, he loves Manaea. Yeah. But what I'm saying is, again, we're doing the whole Yankee Met thing here, but let's say the Yankees lineup, let's say I'm overstating who they are a little bit, and instead of being a B-plus or potential A-minus line, not an A, A-minus lineup, even if it's a solid B and not even a B-plus, you would think, unless they just hit with a rash of injuries, that the Yankees rotation will elevate the Yankees to a place, and plus the American League's weaker, where I don't think Harold, and by the way, I don't have the confidence either in the Mets rotation to elevate the Mets team if the lineup is a little less than. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I don't disagree with your other points about the Yankees in the American League or the Yankees rotation. We were talking about just the lineup and also the standing in the National League, where Manaea coming back, Senga being back healthy, nobody thought the Mets had a good rotation last year outside of David Stearns. They went to the NLCS. And they're better this year going in. Doesn't mean it's going to work out.
No.
The results are going to be better. I guess I'm just perplexed as to what more does everybody want the Mets to do here? They sign Juan Soto. It's Soto. But who's going to drive him in? They bring back Pete Alonso. Yeah, but, I mean, they still got another hole. They don't even have enough. There aren't enough positions on the field or in the lineup. Who are you taking out of this lineup? You're not taking Lindor out. You're not replacing Soto. You're not replacing Vientos. You're not replacing Nimmo. You're not replacing Alonso. What, you need a better DH than Winker/Marte? Which, by the way, is by far the Mets' best DH combo that they've ever had, by far.
Yeah, but their DH combo was always atrocious, so that's not exactly good. We're not handing out trophies for that when it was Darren Ruff and Vogel back a couple of years ago.
But still, Winker's not a bad major leaguer.
I like Winker.
Neither is Marte for a platoon.
I like Winker.
You can do a lot worse than that.
I agree.
All right, McNeil.
I like the Mets lineup.
McNeil, I don't love McNeil, but you could replace him. Sure, they might with Acuna or somebody else.
If Acuna hit, listen, he's got life in his hands. That's why this is fun on February 11th. It's fun. You make it seem like I'm saying the Mets have a C-minus lineup.
No, not even you. I'm saying Harold as well. But I just I'm looking at it and I say, okay, well, Now, if Nimmo doesn't produce, if Vientos doesn't produce, yeah, sure, but yeah, you could say that.
If Bellinger hits 260 and he has 23 home runs instead of 30, then Dominguez, the Yankees got problems.
Dominguez is in the Martian.
I agree.
Right, so that, but you could say that for everybody.
A lot of variables.
But on paper going in.
I like the Yankees a lot of slightly better on paper.
Which is fine. On paper. I'm just saying, like, to say that the Mets have holes, I just, somebody's got to tell me where they are. I mean, for years they've had holes. This lineup, I mean, what do you want? All-stars every position? Yeah, Steve Cohen's got to go out there and get. They'll get Guerrero, and then they'll be like, "Yeah, all right, well, Alonso, but Alonso's a DH, and you know what? Who's playing second base? Oh, you got McNeil and Acuna. It's not good enough. Or Siri. Yeah, Siri's only going to hit 18 home runs in center field and play gold. Like, I just don't get. Maybe they should go get Mike Trout on top of it.
Here's the only thing I'm saying. Well, the only thing I'm saying is this. Wow, it's already late. Do we have to break? Are we doing updates?
We'll do an update.
What are we doing?
Yeah, the only thing I would say. Fill us in on all the moves the Mets haven't made this offseason.
The only thing that I would say, Sal, right, is you know, and I've done this in the years past as well. It's easy in February to be like, you know, this guy's going to hit 20 bombs, steal 20 bases, and I think Siri's going to probably do that. But the night-to-night deficiencies for a guy who's probably going to hit 180,
right.
If the other guys, if there's a little slippage or droppage, it's more pronounced.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, well, Siri, remember, he's not here for his bat.
But he's going to be the starting center fielder.
Okay, but
and
so
he's going to hit four times a night.
Okay, but so what?
Well, it's not
maybe
a so what.
He's going to be hitting eighth or ninth.
No, but Sal, it's not a so what.
I'd rather have his glove in center field.
So would I. Okay. No, I agree. I didn't mind the move.
Right.
But it's not a so what if McNeil hits 260 and he's a slap hitter Alvarez doesn't bust out.
The Braves have Jared Kelnick in their lineup. Kelnick sucks. He sucks.
I got to go to the bathroom. He finishes up.
He shouldn't even be
I got to go to the bathroom. Finish this up.
Fail.